Hey everyone, it's Chris. Just want to let you get a heads up on what you're going to be hearing today on the Pride of Detroit podcast. We're going to dive into the offseason today. We're going to be talking about initial outlooks on free agents, on the salary cap, who could be a casualty, who could be coming back, who might not be, what the outlooks is for Detroit Lions to pay certain guys, why nothing's really a guarantee right now. Including, hey, is Dan Orlovsky finally going to have to wear another uniform? We'll see. We're also going to be talking about Championship Sunday. Me and Jeremy are going to be picking those games and talking about biggest storylines from there. We're going to be talking about our favorite playoff games of all times and much more, thanks to the ever faithful reader questions. Let's get to the podcast.
It up in the air, pulls it in at the 15, into the end zone, touchdown Detroit Lions. He slams it over the goalpost.
Welcome back to the Pride of Detroit podcast, the PODcast, the podcast, our witty little entry into the world of sports talk podcasting, not really radio because it's recorded and you can listen on a feed. That's what a podcast is, or at least that's what they tell me a podcast is. Do we know what a podcast is? I don't know. Can you see it? No. Trust your senses. Get very philosophical about this. I forgot the name of the guy already. Descartes? Yeah, Descartes. This isn't exactly where I was expecting. Hello, it's only a two-man team here, and chuckling in the background is Pride Detroit fearless leader Jeremy Reisman. Hello.
Hello. That was quite some intro. Keeps getting longer and longer.
I know, I'm terrified of chasing people away, but, I mean, if you're in this, you're in this. I'm actually interested. We're doing a bunch of new things on the podcast. One of which is, if you listened from the very start to this, which I hope you did, you will hear about 15 seconds of me summing up everything we talk about. You will also hear a new intro, unless I got lazy and did not finish it, but I think I'll throw in an incomplete version. And then, just in general, you know, sounds better, clearer. We're going to try to sound like we know what we're talking about. We're going to try to be competent. Let's do it.
That part might not change, but
well,
the other technical stuff is probably going to change.
I want to open this up then to a question for you, Jeremy Reisman. I should introduce myself. I am, wow, already unprofessional. I am Chris Lemieux, writer for Pride of Detroit and podcaster extraordinaire. Jeremy, you can find at Detroit on Lion on Twitter, myself at Malkovich Plan, and then Pride of Detroit on Facebook, at Pride of Detroit on Twitter. Now, Jeremy, first question, very pressing. It's the off season. Let's clear the air here right now before we go any further. Have you ever had your hand in the dirt?
Well, we were having this discussion earlier. I couldn't be a football writer if I didn't have my hand in the dirt, because I know what's really going on down there.
Do you want to give the people some background, or should you just let them stew?
No. I need to tell you my football experience, because it's a doozy.
Yeah, this is coming up because we were having a conversation about writers and, in general, coaches, too, and just everyone else, because this came up because I think the Buffalo Bills hired a woman coach for their quality control staff, which is, that's fine. I mean, that's perfect, but some Cleveland radio host had to make him go a fool of himself about it, and it brings up a larger question, this whole idea that you need to play football to talk about football. So I want to talk, from my perspective, I haven't played football since I was in elementary school. And it was a game that I really can't repeat on here because it's not exactly PC anymore. Smear the fur.
I think we gotcha.
Yeah. I remember, I think one time I posted an article, someone said that, you know, this is the opinion of someone who peeked around his high school flag football team starting there. And I told the story before. I didn't even start. I didn't even play.
He was boosting up your resume.
He was boosting me up.
Yeah, well, I can one up you easily because my extensive football career extends all the way to middle school, all the way to eighth grade, where I got to play in the fifth and sixth quarter of Cook Middle School. Shout out to all the Northville listeners. And I had one career tackle as a safety, because that's where they put all the kids that didn't know how to play football or was, you know, 5 foot, maybe 4 foot 10 at the time.
Yeah, and, you're big timing me here.
Yeah, oh yeah. And listen, I may have only had one tackle on the score sheet, but that's because they kept throwing away from me, you know. You know how they don't throw it to Revis during his prime? It was kind of that thing.
We're going to get to some Lion stuff. I just wanted to start on a light note here. That's all. Like, really, I just find it fascinating, especially as we are entering into, you got to appreciate right now, we are entering into the time of the year where everyone's going to start coming out of the woodworks for their hot sports takes. We got to it a week early because there's a Brady Manning coming up. But Super Bowl, we're going to have 2 weeks of this. Everyone under the sun being trotted out because the NFL keeps doing this. They give a week between championship weekend and the Super Bowl, and we have nothing to do.
It's going to be fun.
It's going to be fantastic. And there's going to be people trotted out who just, they're going to say a lot of dumb stuff, and they're being trotted out because they play the game. And I want you to know something. Just playing the game doesn't exactly make you smart at football. Like, can we talk about this? Like, you know why coaches are coaches. Coaches aren't, like, Hall of Famers playing the game. The reason why they became coaches is because they couldn't muster at the top level being a player. Like, does Bill Belichick know less because the top of his football playing career was at Wesleyan? Wesleyan.
Now you've got me thinking, just imagining Jim Caldwell playing like linebacker and how amazing that would
be. He played linebacker at Iowa. Like, that's an accomplishment in itself. Like, the fact that we have John Harbaugh out here who has, I'm sorry, Jim Harbaugh. I keep getting those two confused. Jim Harbaugh, who played quarterback in the NFL. Was he, I forget, man. Was he any good with the Bears? I don't think he was. He was just there.
Yeah. I feel like he was just, yeah, hanging around the locker room a little bit.
I mean, sure, that's a little different, but still, like, yeah. Anyway, we should probably talk about the Lions.
All right, let's do it.
Even more horrifying because apparently this new recorder I'm using does not exactly have a stop clock on it. So I'm going to have to actually take time the old-fashioned way. But as we're doing this, we are, Jeremy, in the depths of the offseason. It is time to talk about it. We've been holding off as long as we can. We're going to probably talk about some of the playoffs later. But for right now, we need to give the people what they want. And the people want Lions talk.
Well, we got a signing today. Let's talk about
that. We did get a signing today. Woo-hoo. We got a future reserve deal. A future reserve deal, Jeremy. It's where champions are made. It's the Patriot way.
A-dubs, baby. Austin Willis. Future camp body that probably will never see an active roster.
I thought it was Arthur Willis for a second, so I was sweating. Once again, the first name curse strikes. Yes, according to Tim 20 Men, Austin Willis, who was an undrafted free agent last year, was signed to a future reserve deal. Future reserve means he's basically being guaranteed a practice squad spot right now for training camp.
Right. He'll be part of the 90-man roster. And
the OTAs, yeah.
And he'll likely be one of the first guys cut. Who knows? I mean, at this point, we're all grasping for straws. We want to, I mean, this is the same type of thing we go through when undrafted free agents come out.
Yeah, it's just coke dreaming. Everyone's like, this could be the next big thing. And to its credit, the guys over at Silver and Black Pride, who I linked their profile, kind of reads like how I was doing that Kendrick Ings piece at the start when I first came on Pride of Detroit.
Right, where it's a really cool story, but I think we all kind of know where the story is going to end.
Yeah. So, there's that. There's also apparently we have fired nearly everyone on the strength and conditioning staff because, you know, Bob Quinn leaving his mark on the team.
Right, and I think since last time we had the podcast, he fired the scouting, the personnel department as well.
Just overhauling everything, putting in the Patriot way, now to be the Lions way or something.
And I think this is kind of an interesting move because it's pleasing everybody, even the people who are a little upset that Caldwell and company didn't go. It's kind of feeding that hunger to restart, hit the restart button and everything.
Throw all the bums out.
Yeah, and, you know, is this team going to look markedly different with a new strength and conditioning staff? I don't know.
Probably not.
Maybe. Probably not.
Probably not. Like, it's just a matter of you don't like something that's there, and or maybe he has some guys in mind. I don't know. It's so early, and I was kind of having fun with that today. Just this whole idea that it's flash judge Bob Quinn. Keep flash judging him. Is he doing the right thing? Is he doing the right thing?
We all know what Drew Sharp thinks.
I'm not calling out anyone by name. You did that.
I mean, DS. DS.
DS. Yes, the mysterious DS. Now, let's actually talk about some real things of the offseason. It's finally time to start doing it. Free agency hasn't started, but the Lions have to deal with that. They have to deal with the cap. That's one of the big things, actually, is the salary cap. I don't know if you know, Jeremy, we are in salary cap hell. Hell. It is salary cap hell is a real place where bad teams go to die. They are tormented forever in the molten pits of Robert Irsay. Actually, he's not a great example there. He was a cheapskate. I'm trying to think. Oh, whatever.
Well, if the Lions are considered in salary cap hell, they're just in the first ring of hell.
Yeah, they're in salary cap purgatory. salary cap limbo.
The Dolphins, on the other hand, who've got that hefty Sue contract. Man. I think they're actually in the hole right now. They need to free up just, I think it's like 7 to 9 million just to get back to even at this point. I think the Lions have somewhere around 20 million, which isn't great, but it's something they can work with.
Well, you know, it's what people are talking about. They're talking about salary cap casualties. Who can be a salary cap casualty? And I think in that case, though, I mean, the Lions do have, what is it, 13 unrestricted free agents that are going to be coming out here, and I think close to 20 is just in terms of total free agents.
That sounds about right, yeah.
Yeah, and that's going to include, you know, some pieces that people are going to want kept around and some pieces they're not. Like, obviously, I think we're going to get to him later a little bit. Dan Orlovsky is definitely on there.
He's not exactly one of the most popular guys around town, but he fills an obvious need for the Lions with a backup quarterback. They don't really even have a third string at this point, so we can get into that now or we can get into that later.
Well, actually, you know what? We're right here. I was going to also let's do it right now, you know? Let's talk about the backup quarterback. Let's do that right now before we get to the rest of this. Is it time to let Safety Dan go? To finally let the last gasp of 2008 and that dark, dreary season, the last reminder of that hell, just cut it loose, as Jim Bob Cooter would say.
I think if there's a year to do it, this might be the year. Obviously, he's got that Caldwell connection. That's pretty much why he was brought in a second time around. But now with Bob Quinn kind of heading things, I'm kind of thinking he's going to make some different personnel choices. We're going to see some interesting signings here and there. There's a chance we see the Lions picking at the bottom of the Patriots roster. Or, you know, that sort of thing typically happens when there's a change at GM or a change at some sort of personnel position. I'm looking right now at some quarterbacks that are going to be free agents, and third on the list, boy named Drew Stanton.
My man, Drew Stanton, also out there, Sam Bradford, of course. Mm-hmm. Is he going to – there's some guys here that are just – they're going to be free agents, and I know quarterback play in this league isn't great for a lot of teams, but I can't imagine a guy like Sam Bradford getting another starting gig. Or, I mean, I can see Colin Kaepernick getting another starting gig. Johnny Manziel, does he get – I mean, does is anyone really throwing their hat out there for Johnny Football? Aside from crazy Uncle Jerry.
You know there's a team that's going to go crazy and give him a shot. He's only a year into the career.
At the same time, this is a bigger topic I wanted to get into, because if I start going on Johnny Football, we'll go all over the place. But there is that, though. Like, the Lions have been traveling this year with only two quarterbacks on the roster, and that is a Caldwell mark. So I don't know. They'll probably bring in more quarterbacks for the 90-man roster for training camp and everything in the preseason and everything else. But I don't know. Do you see Quinn giving Caldwell that control to say, yeah, I want to go into the season with only two quarterbacks in the 50-man roster? So thus, are we only looking for one backup?
I think it's definitely going to be a conversation. I don't know off the top of my head if the Patriots carry two or three, but to me, I've always thought that third quarterback is kind of a waste of the 53-man roster, waste of a spot. Of course, I kind of also think fullback is a little bit, but that's a whole different other topic.
hey, our fullback's doing work.
That's true. I mean, as much as a fullback can, the guy who plays, you know, 35-40% of the snaps does work, I guess. Burton is doing work.
He's getting touchdowns. In the 21st century.
He's getting touchdown.
Crazy. Counteraction, man.
Yeah, but I'm looking at the rest of these. There's a bunch of kind of, you know, trailblazing backup quarterbacks available. If the Lions are looking, there's guys available if they want to move on from Dan 0 and 16.
Do you feel a little sentimental letting him go like that, though? Like, it's no. The last tie to a much more simpler time when the Lions did not care about the playoffs. They cared more about winning. Just trying to win something, anything.
No, I would eternal sunshine that part out of my brain if I could.
All right, some other players on this list here. Haloti Ngata, who I think is most likely to be just a, you know, it's a casualty, if not only the cap, but the fact that they just didn't get a deal done before the 2015 season started. And, I mean, that at first seemed like, you know, okay, it's fine. They'll just come back around next time. But he didn't really play that many games. And we keep talking about him, and his 2015 cap hit was about, like, $8.5 million.
Yeah. And if he's looking to get that sort of money in 2016, I don't think he knows what's coming for him.
Especially at his age.
Yeah, and he did improve as the season went on, as he got a little more healthy. But I don't know. He's an unrestricted free agent. I think if the Lions are looking to narrow in on a defensive tackle that's a free agent, I think they should go and try to re-sign Tyron Walker first, because he was showing lots before he broke his fibula in Seattle.
Right, and I think the Broncos' Malik Jackson is he's going to be a defensive tackle on the market, mm-hmm. right there. So, I mean, that would be a big signing right there. There's a few defensive ends out there, including Jason Pierre-Paul, who may or may not have a hand. And speaking of those Dolphins, Olivier Vernon could be hitting he's opposite Cameron Wake. He could be hitting out there. Which, I mean, if you are going to look at a defensive end, that might be bad for Jason Jones, who unrestricted, and he was making close to $4 million in the cap last year. So I don't know, does he bring back Jason Jones, or he could walk, you know, Manny Ramirez is going to be unrestricted here. I think the one that I think everyone wants to see back, though, is probably going to be Tahir Whitehead.
Yeah.
And probably Issa Abdul-Kuddus.
Both those guys are great depth guys. I don't know if, I guess Tahir kind of could could play that starting role. I'm not sure about Issa. Issa kind of had the starting job at the end there, but there's a difference between starting two games at the end of the season against teams that are out of playoff contention and playing a full 16.
Right, but, although a lot of people were also saying that he should have been starting even earlier in the year, especially after seeing the struggles Tulloch and a few other linebackers are having.
Sure, yeah, and that's definitely true. I don't know what to expect at all this offseason. I don't think you're going to see a huge effort to re-sign guys since, like I said, there's a full change in the personnel department. So these guys are probably going to be targeting different people. Yeah. That being said, we still have the same coaching staff. We still have the same coordinators. They're going to have to, even the new personnel department are going to have to make some sort of compromises here to make sure that the coaches are getting the guys that they can coach.
Right, especially when, and actually, you know what I would say, especially when it comes to wide receiver, because we still don't know what happens with Calvin Johnson, and that's a big thing. You will probably see, you'll have Golden Tate still, duh. But here's some other unrestricted free agents. Lance Moore, and, oh man, where was it? Actually, I believe Corey Fuller is actually a exclusive restricted free agent. So he will probably, you know, he'll probably stick around, but still, that's kind of going down the depth chart to get to Corey Fuller. Lance Moore is a little higher up there, but still we're talking about, you know, and I don't know. I don't know if the Lions really at this position with their money still tied up, really want to start going on spending sprees and just splurge on Alshon Jeffrey, who, by the way, I mean, he's had a bit of a injury history, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he definitely has. And it's not exactly the Patriot way to go out and spend a ton in free agency anyway.
Patriot
so.
Way. It's now the Lions way.
Sure. I know, right? But this is why this offseason to me is going to be so interesting, is the Lions way now is all about picking up those role player guys, those guys that are being passed over by a bunch of teams because they don't fit their, you know, they're a round peg in a square hole, that sort of thing. Whereas the Lions way is to shave those guys down and find a role for them and plug them in properly. So I'd be very surprised to see the Lions go out and get a big name here or there. That being said, I think there's going to be a lot of overturn. I think there's going to be a lot of signings, just a lot of kind of minor ones.
Another part of this thing here too, by the way, Jeremy, is, you know, you're looking at all these free agents, but I mean, complicating the issue. And this is why, like, when people want to start talking about free agency and what the Lions should be getting, I just have to throw up my hands and say, I don't know, because you also have to consider the draft is out here still, right?
Yes.
Like, and everything we're talking about, like, we're talking about Haloti Ngata being a cap casualty or what you do with Tyron Walker at defensive tackle, but what if the Lions go out and draft a defensive tackle? Like, people, like, there are options here. I know, I think Lions fans are talking themselves into Reggie Ragland. Sorry, I can't do it without that name.
Scooby-Doo University.
Yes. It's him and Scooby Wright from Arizona. Those are like the two characters that would come out of a Hanna-Barbera cartoon. But, I mean, a lot of people talk themselves into Reggie Ragland. He was inside linebacker. I think he's actually going to be doing some outside linebacker work as well at the Senior Bowl coming up here soon, which is going to be on NFL Network. And from what I understand, ESPNU is also going to have like all the practices. So if you're like a draft geek like Alex Reno and you want to see these guys and think break down how he comes off the ball or something, you'll be able to watch it on ESPNU.
Hooray.
Yeah, so, I mean, Reggie Ragland, this is where the professionalism breaks down. I cannot say his name properly. I feel awful. Reggie Ragland is out there. I mean, there's going to be some good defensive tackles in here. Jonathan Bullard, A'shaun Robinson, who we're looking at, Andrew Billings from Baylor, who a lot of people think of Baylor, they think of that high-flying offense where they've secretly had just some monsters on their defensive line. Yep. Like, not Sean Oakman monsters, but, I mean, yeah, out there, monsters. You don't know anything about college. You just know Michigan.
I'm trying to be better, and I'm going to be a little bit better this year since it's going to be more so my job this year. but it's a balance. It's a balance between free agency and draft, and you'd like to get as much done in free agency so that you're kind of free to take that best player available in the draft, but you're never going to fill all your needs in free agency. And even though I expect a lot of turnover, that doesn't mean good turnover necessarily. So there are going to be some big needs there in the draft. It's probably going to revolve around some of the aging players on defense or the offensive line on offense.
Well, that's kind of the problem that the Lions are facing right now, is that the defensive unit is aging, but the offensive line is the part that's just demonstrably worse right now. You know, you've got those two kind of going back and forth, and it's just, you know, it's having some people saying, well, the Lions should take an offensive tackle when, you know, we just drafted offensive line in the first year, in the first round last year. So I don't know. And again, I think a lot of this still revolves around what happens to Calvin Johnson.
Sure.
You know, we're going to have to still wait and see. And if Calvin Johnson does walk away, like, does that change things? Because Detroit's going to be picking 16th. You're probably not going to get the top wide receiver, Laquon Treadwell. But if, like, Tyler Boyd's sitting there at 16, do you take him?
It has to be part of the conversation at that point. The Lions really don't have a receiving threat, a long-term receiving threat on their roster right now. Golden Tate's probably locked up for another 3 years or so, but after that, who knows? And beyond him, what do you have?
Theo Riddick? Eric Ebron? Yeah, you don't have anything in the wideout position.
Yeah, and it's weird to be talking about that so soon after, you know, it feels like we're just turning the page on the era of drafting one in the first round every single year. But it's got to be part of the conversation if Calvin isn't going to stick around. And it probably should be part of the conversation even if he sticks around for this year, because clearly he's not going to be sticking around for 5 years at this point.
Sure, but I just don't think you draft in the first round if he does stick around for that position. Like, you probably take something maybe like second or third round. Sure, just take some flyers out.
I think wide receiver is one of those versatile positions that it's one of those things you should probably be drafting almost every year, because you have five or six on the roster alone. If you can't find, you know, your main tall guy, you get a quick slot guy, you get a kick returner, a punt returner. It's worth taking a shot in the dark at least once, you know, per seven rounds, I would say.
And I would say a lot of the top talent in this draft is going to be, it's not going to be glamour positions. A lot of the top talent in this draft are going to be defense, and it's going to be offensive tackles. Like, I'm doing this mock draft with Alex Reno, and we're talking about, like, Laramie Tunsil maybe being the first overall pick, the offensive tackle from Mississippi. And, you know, you'll have a few quarterbacks coming off the board, because I think some people are going to get more and more desperate for quarterbacks as this kind of twilight of the quarterback goodness seems to go on. And we're scraping the bottom of the barrel, and now I'm seeing people saying, oh, Jared Goff could be better than anyone in 2014, and I'm just like, slow your roll. But
I like how you're giving out some exclusive content right now for our podcast listeners about what's coming up.
Yeah, no, me and Alex Reno, we have a dueling, first of maybe a couple dueling mock drafts we are doing. We're hoping to have it done here fairly soon. Obviously, have to probably wait until after Sunday. And we'll just, you know, decide what's going to happen with the 31 and the non-existent 32, because the Patriots don't have a first-round pick. Not that it matters for those jokers.
Jokers, but cheaters.
Whatever. You see, there was another problem with the footballs, apparently.
Yeah, like they forgot them at the hotel or something.
Yeah, yeah, the officials forgot the footballs at the hotel, and immediately, like, people were like, ah. Glorious. Oh, this sport is so dumb sometimes.
Yeah, anything for a storyline.
I think we could probably move on and just talk about some of the playoff stuff, though.
Thank God, I hate talking about the offseason.
There is a lot more of this coming up, Jeremy.
I know.
There is so much more of this.
I'm building up the exoskeleton for this, but I'm not there yet.
Look, we could have been talking about WWE Royal Rumble in this podcast, but everyone else bailed on us, so... And I'm not putting them on blast. I'm just saying, we lost an opportunity. Though. We lost an opportunity to talk about Royal Rumble.
Ryan Matthews and Alex Rena are just going to have to look themselves in the mirror and face that reality tomorrow morning.
Jerry likes likes the wrestling too, and it's something that both you and I will tune in to watch. As you know, I will at least. We're both Midwest guys, and I am at least like semi interested in the big wrestling events.
I used to be. I couldn't tell you who holds any belt right now, though.
See, but it changes between the major events, so I probably couldn't tell you myself. So I'll probably just read like the cage side seat, like, you know, previews and everything. This is WWE is much so the NASCAR of the Midwest, if you think about it.
That's totally true. Totally true.
You know, the Carolinas, Tennessee, Kentucky, they all have NASCAR, and up here in this Rust Belt, we've got wrestling. But let's talk about the NFL playoffs, because that was really cool. Or at least, I'd say about half of it was really cool from this weekend.
Yeah, it wasn't as good as it was last year, and there were some games that are a little bit snooze fest.
You can just say it, the AFC is just trash.
The AFC is boring, I'll give you that.
Like, all these AFC games have just been like, I don't understand what's... Like, the Patriots had the Chiefs from the start, and Broncos-Steelers was nigh unwatchable. Like, it just...
Once you got rid of the Bengals, all the fun was sucked out of the AFC playoffs.
Yeah, and it was like Bengals without, you know, Andy Dalton, too. And sure, that game had a great ending, but not for the reasons I think a lot of people were expecting.
Right. Not at all. But the NFC is kind of living up to the hype of last year.
Well, we have two very fun teams in the NFC Championship. I think that's the... Like, it's not usual teams. These are legitimate fun teams. These are, like, two really good teams that we all saw coming through the year and, like, yes, these are the teams we want. Even though, you know, the Panthers did their damnedest to try to give that game away near the end.
The Panthers and Mr. Classless.
God.
As a young Seahawks fan wrote to him this week.
I can't take Seahawks fans seriously. It's just, like, right now, like, some of the things that are being said, I'm just like, I can't do this. But it doesn't matter. We have Cardinals. By the way, another West Coast team having to travel all the way over to Charlotte to play.
This is becoming your favorite narrative.
Well, actually, this is not a 10 a.m. start for them, though. This would be local for the Cardinals. Cardinals is Pacific time, right? It's not Mountain? Glendale, Arizona?
No, they're Mountain.
Oh, okay, so it's only a two-hour difference, so it's 4:40 for them for kickoff. Yeah. So that's fine. It's not 10 a.m. for this, like the Seahawks.
True.
But, I mean, what do we think about this? Because both these teams had to skate by in different ways. The Panthers, look, we all saw what the Panthers did to the Seahawks early on. But we also saw how they just kind of fell asleep for the rest of the game. Meanwhile, the Cardinals, like Carson Palmer, was starting to look like that Carson Palmer again. And it took some miracle work from Larry Fitzgerald to pull that out.
Yeah, that was probably the worst I've seen Carson Palmer play this season. And, I mean, what else can you say about Larry Fitzgerald? The dude is so extremely likable and somehow is still killing it at his age. He's got to be one of my favorite non-Lions players in the league, and I just want him to succeed so bad.
But now he's going to be getting covered by Josh Norman.
Yeah. But that offense, when it clicks, like, every one of those wideouts becomes a threat.
Sure, absolutely. And yeah, I mean, when Carson Palmer's doing better for himself, I would say.
Right.
And meanwhile, like, everything that's been said about Cam Newton has been said. Like, he's just really, really, really good. If you don't think Cam Newton's really good, I don't know what else. Like, people are already saying the dreaded E word, and I agree with them. No, I agree with him. Cam Newton is elite.
Said it. It's on record.
Said it. Look, I mean, look at the people he's throwing to. Like his the top receiving yards for the Panthers is Greg Olsen.
Mm-hmm. Hey, dude can catch the ball.
He can, but like then you look past that, and then you're like, oh.
I mean, I'm not going to argue that Cam Newton didn't kill it this year. He did. There's just something about Carolina to me that looks a little sloppy. Like somehow they always get it together for 1 week, and they got better about it at the end of the year. They looked like a more well-oiled machine, but something about that team looks a little sloppy to me. That being said, I mean, this game is a complete coin toss for me. I have no idea who's going to win it. I'm really looking forward to seeing that Arizona offense go against Carolina's defense, and really vice versa. Like this is two pretty good offenses going against two great defenses, and I'm just really excited to see the two run into each other and see what sort of carnage happens.
Sure, absolutely, and yeah, I think when it comes to the Panthers, where you think about the sloppiness is coming from, it feels like it's just we saw it with the Seahawks game. It's just they don't really close out games that well. They just kind of they've had those fourth quarter just shenanigans all season long, and you know that gets translated into the narrative as, well, they haven't been here before. But you know what? Neither have the Cardinals. So this is uncharted territory.
Right.
I think the line here is Carolina -3, which means they're getting the benefit of home field advantage, pretty much.
Yeah. So basically a toss-up.
Yeah. So who would you pick here?
I'm leaning Arizona, but I think that has 100% to do with I'd prefer to see them win. I want to see Arizona go on because I like Larry Fitzgerald so much. I like the fact that the Cardinals are kind of a historically not-so-great franchise back in the Phoenix days and all that stuff. And yeah, I like it. I like Patrick Peterson. There's a whole bunch of guys on that team I really like to see, and Carson Palmer, you know, resurrecting his career. All that sort of stuff adds up to some pretty neat storylines, and I just like them a little better. So I guess I'm picking the Cardinals, but for no other reason than I like them.
I like it for the Bruce Arians Kangle. You know, carry the Kangle to Santa Clara, but I actually really like the Panthers. I've still been riding this Panthers thing for a while, and I think people just don't really give them as much respect as what they can do. That said, Jared Allen is doubtful for Sunday, defensive ends. So that's going to.
I thought he was out for the year.
No, he suffered a fractured foot, I believe. He was in the game. I thought he was in the game against. Did he not play against Green Bay?
He did, I think he was out after like the first quarter or something, and then just preliminary reports were broken foot, so he's out maybe for good, but I guess he might try to give it a go.
Fractured foot, so doubtful. So we'll see if he gives it a go. That might swing things, but I'm gonna lean, man, with the point. I'd probably take Arizona with the points, but straight up, I'd probably take Carolina.
Yeah,
like which is me saying I don't know.
Yeah. It's going to be a fun one. I'm much more looking forward to that game than the AFC game.
Oh, you don't want to talk about Brady Manning, number 2000 whatever?
No, because it's
Brady Manning, we've been talking about it all week, though. All week, turn on ESPN. They've been doing this since Monday. Brady Manning, this is what they want.
This should be called Manning versus Brady, the alien versus predator story. Because no matter who wins, we lose.
Like, I mean, I'm not trying to be a hater on it because people were hating on Manning Brady before before Denver's Pittsburgh was even done. People were like, oh, great, we're going to have these two zombies going at again. And it created the media blowback as, oh, look at all these kids just trying to be, you know, edgy. And I mean, there is an exhaustion, I think, of just watching these two going back and forth. That you can't deny that. You really can't. Especially when Peyton Manning, like, I said it before, I think he's done, and I thought he was done earlier in the year, and somehow they bring him back, and he just forgets, like, the one saving grace is that they're playing in Denver. Like, I don't, like, Denver, for being up that high and everything, it's not as cold as it would be probably in New England, although I don't know where this snowpocalypse is going to change matters there. But, like, Manning, I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't, like, even there, like, he was taking very predictable shots that were basically keeping him out of trouble, and it was being spun of as, oh, look at Manning's play calling. Look at his play calling. It just felt like the most bogus thing you could muster. But
I mean, to me, it's not even so much like the Brady versus Manning thing, because to me that still has at least a little bit of lure to it, because it almost feels like a good versus evil thing a little bit, because Brady is so vilified at this point and Manning is so like,
oh, don't say
this
that,
is his last run.
Don't say the villain thing, because that just gives Patriots fans more ammunition about how, like, Bill Simmons is insufferable right now. Like, his Twitter feed has been insufferable all year. Ever since he got out of ESPN, he believes that ESPN, the NFL, God, King, and Country are after his beloved Patriots, and he will do anything to try to expose some sort of conspiracy. Like, I think someone was, like, listing a stat of, like, some Patriot record in Denver, and it was favorable to the Broncos, and he was going, see? 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 And I'm like, see what?
Well, yeah, Patriots have that sort of, I don't even understand how they get that complex where they're always being vilified.
Like, well, they think the world's out against them. Yeah, I mean, they think the world's out to get them, and it's like, you have how many rings?
And those will never be taken away from you.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, this isn't college football. They can't retroactively take your title.
See, sometimes I feel like that's what it would be like if the Lions won. Because we're always, we've trained ourselves to be the victims. So when we win, there's always going to be like a little asterisk that we're complaining about.
God.
Like, oh, well, we should have won in regulation in the Super Bowl because of this crappy call. And this was like,
well, I'm sure there would be some columnists out there that would try to corner that market almost immediately in the Detroit media.
Hmm. I don't know who you're talking about.
Nope, I don't either. But I think, look, the Patriots have Rob Gronkowski, and he is, as Dan Le Batard on ESPN says, a polar bear who has been trained to play football. And he's questionable right now, but, I mean, questionable ain't no thing for Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah.
And it's going to ride on that.
He's going to play.
Yeah, Julian Edelman was questionable as well, but we saw what happened when Brady had Edelman back. So I guess the question is, like, when you look at it, what do you think then? Because actually, from all the stats I've seen, like, I think 538 actually gave Denver the greater, a very high win percentage, win probability based off of ELO. But on the other side, the Broncos are a 3-point dog at home.
Right. Well, I mean, I have to go with the general perception here then that, How could you ever pick against the Patriots in the playoffs? That team is so well coached. They game plan so well that when the heat is on and they have to take on one specific team, they're gonna prevail like at least 9 times out of 10.
I won't ask you who to pick here. I would just say that looking at these two when talking about potential for a Super Bowl, I'd much rather see the Patriots in the Super Bowl than the Broncos. Especially the Broncos, who have, like, hypnotized themselves into starting Peyton Manning. Like, unless you are really into the idea of, A, you really like the Denver defense, and B, you think that Peyton Manning keeps deserving one more shot at a ring.
Well, okay, first off, how can you not be sick of the Patriots in the Super Bowl?
They're just the ultimate villains.
I know, but
plus, look at this. This is was it Carolina and New England in a Super Bowl way back
yeah.
when?
Yeah,
yeah. This
would
is a
make
grudge
for
match.
An okay rematch, but like none of the same players are around, so that
sure,
match
sure.
is in our heads, really.
Yeah, sure.
But to me, I am so sick of the narrative that Peyton Manning will never be one of the greats because he only has one Super Bowl win. He can't win.
Oh my
god,
I hate that so much.
That narrative is so bad. So that if he picks up another Super Bowl, just to kind of put that to bed, and you know, then I'll have I think the same as his other.
But the other side of that is if he goes for another Super Bowl and then loses another Super Bowl,
right.
What happens then? We're going to be consumed by even worse takes. So I just want the Broncos removed altogether from this equation.
I can see that, but I cannot take another Patriots Super Bowl. I'm so sick of them.
Right. And especially after this year of, you know, Balghazi and everything else, fans would just like it would be an apocalypse on social media.
But that, to me, that makes it even more likely that it's going to happen because we've seen the Patriots come out like with a vengeance and they light teams on fire. And they haven't exactly been doing that lately, but when they're getting healthier now at the right time, they're playing a team that has some flaws in Denver.
I mean, there's flaws on that Patriots team, too.
Sure. But who's the best coach in covering up those flaws?
True.
Bill Belichick.
The Belichick. What do you make of this spat match that's already going on in the media? Are you just disinterested completely in it?
I think so. I'm not sure what you're talking about specifically.
There's like Denver players who are like talking about they're being very passive aggressive. They're basically subtweeting the Patriots, talking about Rob Gronkowski likes to push off, and every time Tom Brady gets hit, he looks up expecting a flag. And, you know, all that stuff.
That's playing with fire, man. I'm sure the Patriots are acting above that for the most part. Or
oh, sure, absolutely. But I don't know if they're just handing... I don't believe in bulletin board material. I really don't.
Yeah.
But at the same time, too, I also don't believe that they're doing this just to, you know, play to the refs to try to get them to not be screwy about that stuff. I don't know. We should just probably get on to the questions instead.
Sure, let's do it.
It's our favorite time of the year.
Fire him up.
Fire him up. Fire him up, as he would say. Who would say it?
The mighty Cooter.
The Cooter. The new permanent offensive coordinator. Justin Oldfart asks, quite simply, Dust, will it ever settle? Should it?
I'm assuming this is referring to the quake that is Bob Quinn.
Yes.
I think there's more to come. I think we're not just done with the strength and conditioning and the personnel department. I'm not really sure what's left. The caterers, the field manicurists, they're all, you know, nervously checking their mailbox at this point, and
oh,
they
sure.
should be.
I don't think any of it's going to mean much, though.
That's the thing. In terms of should it settle, I don't know. There's so much that goes into wins and losses that you're never going to be able to trace it back to a certain meal that a player had.
All right, Big Haircut asks a couple of questions here, and both these are actually pretty good to get into. Favorite movie of the year? Oscars are coming up. Figured it'd be a good time to ask.
Why don't you go first on this one?
Well, this is something I really don't want to touch on because the Oscars are embroiled in a really big controversy right now. And my own tastes are fairly, like, standard. Like, one of the best movies I've seen was, I mean, I thought Mad Max and its cinematography was beautiful. But right. At the same time, I don't know if it's best picture material, right? So,
probably not. I mean, the storyline was a little lacking in that movie, but it was
right.
It was definitely a fun watch.
And I haven't seen Beasts of No Nations yet, but it's on my Netflix list, and I really want to chow down on that sometime. This weekend might be the time for me to watch Beasts of No Nations. I've just heard so many good things about that movie.
Yeah, I haven't caught that one either. And there's a big list of movies that I need to check out. The best movie I've probably seen this year, which I saw just a few days ago, is The Revenant.
I still need to see that too, yeah.
That's another thrilling movie that's a little short on story, but definitely like edge of your seat the entire way.
Yeah, and I also need to see Hateful Eight. Like there's at this point a lot more films that I need to see than I can remember off the top of my head.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Hateful Eight, The Martian, I still haven't seen.
Yeah.
But
I still haven't seen Star Wars.
Oh boy.
Yeah. I mean, there's been some other movies I've seen, but I just can't really think of any off the top of my head, aside from Mad Max, because Mad Max, like, I saw Jurassic World around the same time in Mad Max. I didn't like Jurassic World at all, though, so.
Yeah, you need to get on that Star Wars train right now.
I will. There's a lot of other films out there, but I would say, like, yeah, Beasts of No Nation, from everything I've heard about it, and that was, like, one of the big Oscar snubs was Beasts of No Nation. And then, you know, Mad Max. And Mad Max is just because just I find it beautiful. I'm also a big fan of, you know, I was a big fan of Road Warrior and beyond, and not as much Beyond Thunderdome, just Road Warrior.
Not a big Tina Turner fan?
Oh, I'm a huge Tina Turner fan. It was too removed from what Road War. For people who have seen all the Mad Max movies, you know, just Beyond Thunderdome is just a completely different movie. Oh. Than Road Warrior and the first Mad Max. The second question he asks is, was Packers-Cardinals the best playoff game sans Super Bowl you've ever seen? And I feel this one's a little short-sighted.
It is. I mean, that was a great game.
It was a fantastic game.
It had a lot of amazing things, you know. It had a tipped touchdown. It had a Hail Mary. It had a weird coin flip. It had, you know, all the makings of, you know, an epic game that we're going to be talking about at the end of this season. We're probably going to be talking about a couple of years down the road, especially if you're a Packers or a Cardinals fan. But I think you can just go back to last year and find some better games, to be honest, because every single NFC game last year had some sort of amazing finish or some sort of crazy controversy. You know, Lions-Cowboys, and then the Dez catch the next week, and then Green Bay, Seattle going into overtime. That game to me is one of my favorite playoff games of all time, to be honest.
Sure.
I think that one was phenomenal. And then you got the Super Bowl. And I know Super Bowl isn't part of this conversation, but if you're just talking about playoffs as a whole, I think you can't beat the 2014 playoffs. And there were some great games in there that I would put up above the Cardinals-Green Bay game from last week.
Well, for me, there's a few years to really talk about. First, I think, was it 2013 Colts-Chiefs, where Andrew Luck had that just huge comeback against the Chiefs in the wild card? Just,
yeah.
Like, that was, like, one of Andy Reid's first years in KC, and the Chiefs just completely collapsed. But not even that's still recent, though, yeah.
Right. And that one's got to hurt the Chiefs, because that, I mean, before they finally got their first, or they didn't get their playoff win this year, did
no,
they?
No, they did. They did.
They did. Okay,
yeah.
That's right. I thought they had a bye.
Well, the Texans were pretty much a bye.
That's true. But yeah, they were still in the midst of that big playoff drought. So that was another interesting storyline to that game.
I mean, going back even further, actually, I'm not even going to go back that far, because I just think of 2012 when it comes to really good playoff games. You know, the 49ers had some impressive games that year. And I love Colin Kaepernick as a player. Colin Kaepernick, like, really brought it out. He, like, beat the hell out of Green Bay in 2012, where he was just making all those runs on the ground. And they had that close call with the Falcons that year, I believe it was. Was that 2000? Yeah, that was the 2012 Super Bowl. So, yeah, they had the close call with the Falcons to get to the Super Bowl. And then also that year, speaking of the other team, Joe Flacco, the Baltimore Ravens, they had that game where Flacco just threw that back-breaking deep ball over, I don't remember who the receiver was, but he just threw it over a Denver defender, and kind of what looked to be at the time ended Peyton Manning's dream.
Right, and that's where the Broncos safety, like, terribly misplayed it.
Yes, yeah. He was completely off.
Yeah.
And then even going further back, you know, one of my younger memories, 2002 AFC wild card, NFC wild card, was it Jeff Garcia with Terrell Owens, the 49ers, that comeback over the Giants? Yeah.
That's a throwback. I'm not sure. That's beyond the grasp of my my memory, but.
Well, I was just looking back through some old videos, and I was kind of reminded of it. I just remember watching that game because I still watched a lot of 49ers for some reason when I was younger. Joseph R. Sweeney has a cavalcade of questions for us. First one is, can you do a table read of the teleplay I wrote from last Friday's notes, article, comments sections?
I don't think we have a big enough crew to do a whole table read at this point.
Well, I have one that's like a, it's a dialogue, literally dialogue, two people. So you can take the role of Jim Caldwell here, and I'll take, this is only one we're going to do for you here. I'm going to take the role of Bob Quinn because I really want to do a bad Southie accent.
Okay, and I'll try to do as good of a robot impression as I can.
Sure. Hey, Kalsey, Tom's going to rip these chests in no chowder hole. Gronk is a fucking beast. This isn't even... what am I doing? That's not even Southie. I'm like...
I don't know what that is, but
pass
me
another Sam Adams.
Can I take off this sign that says Boner Inspector?
Hot not. That was awful. Let's never do this again. Next question. Instead, actually, he's got a couple more. We're going to skip, unfortunately, the Royal Rumble question because, once again, no Royal Rumble talk. He asked, do you think Stafford ditches the beard?
I think Kelly's kind of wears the pants in that relationship. So I think after a while, she's gonna put the kibosh on that.
The kibosh, he says. Isn't it kibosh?
It's whatever I say it is.
Okay.
I'm the managing editor.
Sure. Biggie GP asks, he has a few questions. We're going to, first off, I think we've answered, do you think they re-sign Nada? Kind of just in our hemming and hawing. I think the question I want to talk about, though, best city for a Lions road trip this upcoming season?
Yes, this is a great question because it's very relevant to me because I...
You usually do road trips, sure.
Well, yeah. And since moving out of Michigan, I've hit at least one game every year, and I absolutely plan on doing it again this year. The two spots I'm looking at, number one with a bullet is New Orleans. I didn't go this year, and I really want to make a week out of that. I've never been to New Orleans. Obviously, that place looks like an amazing place to party for an entire week.
I will tell you, as someone who partied for an entire week there, it is. And
yeah.
I partied very close to Bourbon Street, too. So I wasn't even the good party part. I was in just the depraved part of the French Quarter.
Right. And what impresses me about that city is it's not like Las Vegas where you get sick of everything after one or two days. Like you
no,
can spend
it's food.
But yeah, there's food, there's drinks, there's parties every day of the week, it seems like. Of course, this is speaking from an outsider perspective, so I don't actually know if any of that is true.
All I'm saying is if you go down to New Orleans, I will probably meet you there, and we will document our adventures looking for po' boys and going to K-Paul's or something.
I'm 100% in on that.
Sure.
My other choice is Dallas, just because I want to go see Jerry World at least one time before the big screen falls on the field and there's some sort of tragedy.
But Dallas itself is... I'm going to poo-poo Dallas, though, because, I mean, outside of seeing Jerry World, what do you really want to see in Dallas?
That's true. That might be a fly in and out on the same day kind of trip. Do you have a game outside of New Orleans you're looking at?
Well, I'm just pulling up the schedule right now, because, I mean, really, we're kind of hit on all the marks, because the ones out of the division is basically Dallas, New York, Houston, Indianapolis, New Orleans, and no one's going to the Nappy. There's a reason it's called that. No one's going to the Nappy. New York could be interesting just because I have never been to New York in my life. But at the same time, it would be expensive, and then I would have to go over to, you know, New Jersey and to the Meadowlands to see that.
Yeah.
And I have to sit with Giants fans. And... yeah, I mean, depending on, we don't really know the schedule yet, so it could be freezing cold when we go there.
Right.
Houston's an interesting city, but I don't know if I'd really want to be going to Reliant Stadium. Or is it? No, it's Energy Stadium now, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I mean, I've seen pictures. It looks like a beautiful place. I just don't know how the atmosphere would be.
Right. Do you have any interest in visiting Lambeau? Have you been to Lambeau?
No. No, I've only been to Ford Field and what's the name of the Jaguar Stadium, BB&T?
I have no idea.
I'm trying to remember off. I've been to the Jags Stadium.
Okay.
Oh, and I've been to the Georgia Dome, but it wasn't for a football game.
What were you at the Georgia Dome for?
I was there when I was much younger. I actually went to the 96 Olympics.
Oh, that's impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. It was very nice. And I think did I go up there? No, I didn't. That was something else. And then all the other stadiums I've gone to have been like CFL stadiums. I haven't actually gone to a lot of NFL stadiums. I haven't. It's just a matter of money and a matter of just, you know, time and everything else. So.
And your secret love for the CFL.
Secret love for the CFL. We're going to be doing CFL previews here in this offseason.
That's what you think.
Or maybe, you know what, that could be a free agent thing. Look at, see who the big guys you get down from the CFL, bring them to America.
Oh boy.
All right, we have some Twitter questions. You know, we usually do these on the comments, but I think we've covered most of the best questions here from our comments this week. And I hope we covered everything else in our chatter. Let's talk about some of these things from Twitter. Again, you can send us these questions to us at Pride of Detroit. First off, DC Lion fan asks, what exactly is a futures contract? Daniel Cornell. Daniel, I hope we answered what a futures contract is for you much earlier in this podcast. Cindy P. at Can SWP Capital P. Are you doing a best Detroit Lions names bracket tournament again this offseason? You already answered this on Twitter, but for the people at home, let's tell them your answer.
Yes. Yes, I am doing it. I'm doing a second annual names bracket. I haven't gotten into it yet. I think I have to make sure that the Lions have at least 64 players. Part of the reason I did it the first time is because when I was looking at the Detroit Lions, they had exactly 64. So I'm like, well, this is happening. But, yeah, I need retribution because I don't think Ezekiel Ansah should have won last year. And I'm going to make sure he doesn't this year.
I think my early sleeper pick is Issa Abdul Kudus.
I think he made it to about the Elite Eight last year. But a fun part, I mean, that's one of my favorite things to write I've ever written for Pride of Detroit. And I fully intend to tamper with the results.
Or just any other March Madness tournament, really.
Yeah. And maybe I'll do it around March this year. I think I did it in April last year. I don't know if I'm going to wait till after the draft or not, but I'm definitely doing it again this year.
Okay, Lethal Sacks. At Lethal Sacks, Alex Stahl asks, is Bob Quinn related to Harley Quinn from Suicide Squad?
Well, I mean, we really don't know much about Bob Quinn. So, you know, I think we're just finding out his origin story. Maybe he's in Suicide Squad. We don't know yet.
Have you seen, you've seen the trailer for that movie? Those trailers keep getting better and better. Like, it's, yeah. I've told a lot of the staff, I've been burned out real bad from superhero movies. I found them to just be, especially the Marvel ones, to just have such a formula to them that just makes them, like, it feels like I'm watching the same movie and over again. And I haven't really been, like, people have been raving about all these movies, and I've just been like, I've been seeing the same movie since Iron Man.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think you and I have both been very cynical about the superhero genre lately. And
right.
We kind of stand alone, I think, with the Pride of Detroit staff in that sense.
Well, I mean, especially for me, because I grew up as a DC guy, and I'm just disinterested in Marvel, mm-hmm. and I find, and a lot of my problems about that formulaic happens to be the Marvel Disney movies. Like, they all seem to be like everything since Iron Man, like Ant-Man, Iron Man, the Avengers, Thor, it just all seems to be following the same tired trend. I don't know what it is that's got me away from it. And I'll come back for the DC movies. I'll come and see, you know, Man of Steel didn't really interest me, but I'll come and see all the Batman movies, and I'll probably still go see Batman versus Superman, even though people are just hating on it so hard. But Suicide Squad just looks like fun, and they've got a good cast for it too.
And as someone who's not really even aware of like the DC Marvel disconnect, and you know, not really a guy who had comic books growing up, all the trailers have seen, like I've seen, have kind of been that monotonous same tone that you were talking about, but like you said, the Suicide Squad trailer. I'm in.
Which is funny because when we started talking about the movie, people were like, wow, this is way too try hard, you know, because they're like, just it felt like it was being really emo goth kind of weird vibe to it, and a lot of people didn't like how Jared Leto looked as the Joker, even though I will say that I'm fine with him there. But yeah, I think I like it. The trailer looks really cool. This is a new trailer with Bohemian Rhapsody. If you haven't seen it, you should go see it. It's really fun.
If you want to see a movie that looks too tryhard, at least to me, and I know I might get a little bit of hate comments for this, Deadpool to me looks like it's way too tryhard.
That's the other thing, Pete. Like, comic nerds love Deadpool. I never got him. And I just don't... I don't know. Maybe it's just because I haven't really seen a good comedy in a long time. The last comedy I saw was... Oh my god, it was a rom-com. The last comedy I saw was Don John.
I guess that's a rom. It is a rom com. Romantic at times.
It's a very deep kind of rom com. It's like a black rom com almost, because he never actually finds love. Well, actually, right. He kind of does, but it's like the whole. It's just very weird and twisted. I might go see 50 Shades of Black. I don't know why I would, but I'm just.
I can't believe the Wayans brothers still have an outlet to make more parody movies.
Oh. They'll keep doing that. They'll keep running that into the ground. All right, we have one more question here about Royal Rumble, and you know what? I might as well go ahead and field it. We have a question here. John Cena!